All right, let's pray and we'll get into what we're going to talk about tonight. Dear God, thank you for today. Thank you for the rain. Lord, we are grateful for that. It nourishes the land and the plants, and just grateful for all of that. It holds down the forest fires and keeps us from having to deal with smoke and all of that. We are grateful for that. Lord, we continue to lift up our nation and the world with this COVID mess that we're in. We ask for you to heal, to help, to show your sovereignty and to wrap this thing up and stop it. Lord, we are grateful that Alaska has not been hit as hard as other places. But Lord, we do lift up those who have lost people, lost loved ones, those who have been very sick and yet survived. Lord, I do pray for just protection and your help and your hand on all of that. Give us all wisdom as we navigate these interesting and difficult times in different ways. Lord, we do lift up the cities that are experiencing rioting, and we just pray for peace, and we pray for your people to represent you well, to speak thoughtfully and compassionately, and to walk out the beauty of the gospel and how it reconciles races and brings people together. Lord, we thank you that each of us, no matter what we look like, whatever our economic, educational, whatever level we live at life, whatever background, whatever we look like, that each of us is made in your image and valuable enough that you sent your own son to die on the cross, that we might have the opportunity to be saved. I just ask for your blessing on our time together. In the name of Jesus, amen. So tonight's topic is similar to last week. Last week we talked about disappointment with God in particular. And this week I want to talk about discouragement. I think it's similar, but it's slightly different. And I want you to think about the fact that, you know, like right now we're in the throes of a pandemic. We're in the throes of a disease that is across the world, around the world, highly contagious. It has taken a lot of lives. I mean, I literally 4 days ago called a lady in my home church, and she lost both her parents within 8 hours, and they were older. They had a lot of other issues, but COVID finished both of them off. And so these are serious times, and they're scary for people, and they're difficult. And just as there are physical diseases, I believe there are spiritual diseases, in at least as a metaphor or an image, sin being the overarching. But just like COVID and flus have these varieties of the viruses, these different strains and all of that, I think that sin has different strains, and one is discouragement. I think it's something that hurts a lot in our lives. If you stop and look at it, and I want you to think about this, because I've had 25 years of ministry now, at least, and many a marriage has ended. It's usually the wife. Every once in a while it's the husband, but usually it's the wife. And I'll be having a conversation with them, and my heart just sinks when I just hear, I am done. I'm just done. And they are so discouraged. And the issues can be, in my opinion, this big or this big, but the pile has just added up. And he or she is just so discouraged that they are done. You see it with people. One of the largest, fastest growing groups are the ex-church people. They make up the majority of what we call the nones, N-O-N-E-S. Those that if you ask them on a survey, what is your faith? And they've gone from this percentage of the population, they've doubled in the last few years. And it's still a small percentage overall, but they're not Christians, they're not Buddhists, they're not Muslims, they are none. That's what they say. They check the box, none. And if you talk to them, there's always a story. And the story usually is some form of discouragement with the church. Some leader has fallen, somebody in the church betrayed them, some business partner who claimed to be a Christian stuck it to them and stole money from them. And you just see discouragement is just this powerful spiritual force in our lives for evil, for bad. I work with a church planting organization. I'm on their board, and I do some coaching for church planters and do some encouragement work with the planters themselves. And the number one way that we lose a church plant is usually the wife quits first, she gets discouraged, and the husband quits about 6 months later. It's the number one way we lose churches. It's not that it was necessarily going that badly, not necessarily that the money was collapsing. I've seen churches, 250 people, making budget, $20,000 in the bank, and they're, you know, moving right along. People are coming to Christ, and you get the call, and the planter calls up and says, you know, I'm done. Because it wasn't as big as he thought it was going to be, or it wasn't whatever he thought it was going to be. Discouragement is a powerful force. It can take your business. You know, you get discouraged and you quit. It can take your marriage. It can take your faith. It can take a lot of things. The thing about discouragement is it's universal. Almost everybody gets discouraged at one time or another. Almost everybody. I mean, I've never had anybody not get discouraged that told me. Maybe you've never had, but most have. And like a disease, you know, I hope what's true with COVID, if you get it, because most of us, if you get it, it's no big deal. Now, some, it's a big deal. But most of us, if you get COVID, it's not a big deal. What I haven't seen much on is now are you okay, or could you get it again? And I haven't really seen much. I've read a few articles, and some say yes, some say no. But I will tell you, as just from personal experience, you can get discouragement over and over again, just, you know, in different areas. Like, you could, man, things can be clicking along in your marriage. Things can be clicking along in your finances. And, boy, your parenting, you are discouraged because that kid is just going off the rails, and you're really worried about him, you know. So discouragement is universal, it's recurring, and it's highly contagious. You know, as a leader, if I get discouraged, the leadership team can get very discouraged very quickly. In your marriage, if you're discouraged, your spouse can get very discouraged, particularly about your finances or whatever. And you see it in the country. You see it. I think we're seeing it right now in the African American community. Just one more example of an injustice, and they're just discouraged, and it's flipping into some bitterness and some anger, and it's a hard thing. So discouragement is universal, it recurs, and it's highly contagious. And I want to show you a story that's really a remarkable success story in the Bible. It's found in the book of Nehemiah. It really is the book of Nehemiah. And Nehemiah is this great leader. He is in exile in Babylon and Persia. And the Jews have been in exile for all this time, and part of them have gotten to come back, okay? And so that's amazing, and that's a fulfillment of prophecy, that's exciting, that's encouraging. And they come back, and then Nehemiah, who works in a high position for the king, gets this report that his hometown, Jerusalem, the place that he looks to, the place, the city of God, you know, has all these promises attached to it, that city, that the walls have not been rebuilt. You know, the Jews have gone back for a while, and the walls have not been rebuilt. Now, walls, that's not really our big thing. I mean, you do hear Trump talk about a wall, but our cities, we don't normally build walls around them, right? But in ancient times, walls were a big deal. Walls said that this city's secure, this city's strong, this city can withstand attack. And so walls were a big deal. And Nehemiah feels called by God, and he goes and gets the stuff, he gets the people, and he goes and he successfully, I mean, I'll give you the whole story here, but we're going to dig in just a bit. He successfully goes and rebuilds the walls of Jerusalem. I forgot to check the detail, but I believe it's about 52 days. So it's kind of a sprint, but they get it done. It's a remarkable, successful endeavor. And people to this day, even though this is an ancient book, study the book of Nehemiah for leadership principles and advice and all of that. Well, here's the thing. What I want you to understand, discouragement was dogging at his heels and the Jewish people's heels throughout this particular whole time that they're doing this. So Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6 and verse 10 and through 12, let me just read a little section. So this is a point in the rebuilding of the walls. They're not done. They don't know the end of the story. They don't know the rest of the story like we do. They're just doing one day at a time. They're frantically working with all their heart to get these walls built. It's dangerous. And Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6 says, "So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. So they started well. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, 'The strength of the laborers is giving out, and there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall.'" That's verse 10. Verse 11, "Also our enemy said, 'Before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them, and we will kill them and put an end to the work.' Then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over." Notice that, 10 times over. So repeatedly, you know, it just like lots of discouragement, lots of discouraging messages. "Wherever you turn, they will attack us." So what we're dealing with here is discouragement. I put in your notes, just so we're clear, I don't want to claim it something that's not mine. Not all of it, but much of this material comes from a book called God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions by Rick Warren. So just so you're aware of that, if you want to go and read that book, there's a chapter on discouragement that I think is helpful. So why do we become discouraged? So here you have a group of people. They have gone with gusto. They're halfway there. The wall is, you know, whatever, I don't know how high the wall was, but, you know, they're halfway there. And now they're just discouraged. Why do we get discouraged? Well, the first part is just plain, this is A, just plain tired. Just plain tired. Nehemiah 4:10, "Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, 'The strength of the laborers is giving out.'" I was chuckling, there was a lady, some pastors and I put on a political event this week, and one of the ladies I was chatting with, she was talking about, she was on a diet, and she said she was eating a piece of candy, and her little son came to her and said, "Hey, I thought you were on a diet." And she said, "Well, sometimes you just need a break." And he said, "Well, I thought you took your break yesterday. I watched what you ate," you know, so she totally called him on it. And you know, sometimes you just get tired, right? You're trying to make a change, trying to move forward, trying to make things better in your marriage, in your job, in your career, in your spiritual growth. And you just get tired. So notice that Nehemiah 4:10, "The strength of the laborers is giving out." Sometimes you're just worn out physically, mentally, emotionally drained. And honestly, sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is go take a nap, go take a vacation, go on sabbatical, you know, if you're in a career that allows that. There are times you need to do that. That's important. That matters. And you know, people don't always understand it because they don't always know the load you're carrying. And here's the thing. I think that most people can start a project well, but it's getting through the whole thing, you know? It's finishing it. It's getting through it. So here they are halfway in. And you know, if you're reorganizing a closet, halfway in is rough, isn't it? Because that means a bunch of stuff's pulled out of place and it's a mess and you're like, "Oh, what have I done? You know, what's going on here?" Halfway in is tough. And I don't know about you, but I'll tell you this. Anytime I start any kind of project, whatever it is, at church, at home, it always takes me longer than I think it's going to take. What is that? My estimating skill is off. Let me just, I don't know, maybe you do a better job than that. It's just off, and so you just get plain tired. And you need to look at this. There's physical ramifications here. I read a wonderful book by Wayne Cordero. He's a pastor in Hawaii called Leading on Empty. And he just talked about how he reached a point in his ministry where he was just absolutely done. He was just done. And it's a successful ministry. He's doing a lot for God. A lot of people coming to Christ, just really pleased. But he said, I looked down, it's like the car of my life, and I looked down at the dials, and it said E. There was nothing left. And talked about the serotonin depletion in the body that happens. And so sometimes you just need to, you're just plain tired, and you get discouraged from that. So look at that. If you're in a job, if you're in a relationship, if you're in a battle with a particular substance, and a battle with a substance, you can't really take a day off. That's part of the struggle with this. But you do have to have maybe some rewards built in, or some, you know, that aren't alcohol or aren't whatever it is. But try to figure out what is your refreshment cycle. When I do individual spiritual plans with people, I often ask them to do is write your refreshment cycle. And what I mean by that is, you know, what helps you rest, what helps you recharge, what helps you, you know, go again. And it's going to look different. You know, some people it's outdoors time, you know, just being outdoors, they feel closer to the Lord. They exercise more, whatever it might be. Some people it's time with a good book. Others it's time away. And find what refreshes you. So just plain tired can be a big reason. The second reason why we become discouraged, you see in this text, is trashed by frustration. You know, if you reorganize, you try to reorganize something, at least the way I do it, when I reorganize, say, a room or a desk or whatever, it gets worse before it gets better. Does that make sense? There's a lot of rubble around, to use this word here. And verse 10 of our text, chapter 4, meanwhile, the people in Judah said, the strength of the laborers is giving out, and there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. They had to, you know, at least put some people on dragging off some of the old wall, you know, what was left of the old wall, because it was hard to work. And so what, and this might be a question for you to ask, what's the rubble in your life that you need to clear away so that you can move forward, so that you can build a wall, so you can do the project in your life that God is calling you to do? It's time to take out the trash. So trash by frustration, those things that just really frustrate you. You can also be stalled by failure. Why do we become discouraged? Stalled by failure. Look at verse 10 again. Notice the last part of that verse, we cannot rebuild the wall. They have given up, at least part of them. We cannot rebuild the wall. That's failure. You've blown it. Maybe you took a drink, and you'd gone 2 years without. And so this is the moment. You have to do the gut check, and you have to start again. You know, this is when you have to, you know, deal with the failure, face the failure, and start again. You know, one step, and whatever, you know, that next step is, whatever this failure is as you're working on things. The last idea on why we become discouraged, and then we'll get over how we get over this, is stopped by fear. Stopped by fear. Look at Nehemiah 4, verse 11 and 12. Also, our enemies said, before they know it, see us, we will be right there among them, and we'll kill them and put an end to the work. Then the Jews who lived near them came and told them 10 times over, wherever you turn, they will attack us. This is not light. This is not somebody saying nasty things about you on Facebook. This is, we want to come kill you. This is serious. This invokes fear in the Jewish people, and they're struggling with this, and it's discouraging to them. And sometimes, you know, in addiction, in tough habits, you know, fear can play a part. You know, just to give you one example, one thing where my wife rode me about soda for years, and I haven't had a soda in a year. I think it's a year and a half now. I don't know. It's been quite a while. And you know what? It didn't matter. I don't feel any different. You know, she, you know, it's not like I got applause or whatever. Here's the thing. I think it is healthier long term. I'm not negating that. But I think that's a fear for people. Like alcohol or drugs or porn or whatever. Well, if I give it up, the fear is there's no payoff. And, you know, I think there is a payoff. And I think you have to look at the payoff. You have to talk to people further down the road to see the payoff. But that's a genuine fear. What's the payoff? And you know, just as an example I just gave there, particularly if, you know, somebody's in your life, like you're married or a friend or whoever, if it's a full-on addiction, you're not going to get a payoff for a long time because they're not going to believe you're done for quite a while, right? And I don't know what that quite a while is, but they're not going to believe you're done. So, well, I don't know what your fear is, but fear can discourage you. It can hold you back. There might be fear of criticism or embarrassment. I've seen people that were living one way pretty radically. They come to Christ, they switch, and somebody comes along and calls them a goody-goody, and they, you know, oh, you know, and that fear that they won't be accepted by their old peer group is really damaging. And so you have to watch this kind of thing. What fears are preventing you from developing and growing? So how do we overcome discouragement? Well, one way is to reorganize, to find a better way. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 13, "Therefore I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears, and bows." And so he kind of tweaks what they're doing. This in particular helped them deal with the fear factor. Hey, I've got some people at the lowest spots, at the most vulnerable spots, they're going to help us. And so you see that. So reorganize. Sometimes to overcome discouragement, you're doing the right thing, but you're not doing it quite right. I think it's fascinating. You know, how many hundreds of diets are there? How many hundreds of exercise programs are there? And you'll talk to people, and they'll try 25 of them, and then finally one of them, for whatever reason, works. Isn't that interesting? And I don't know why that is. It tweaks. In my own life, I've found I do a lot better with fasting than I do dieting. If I call it a diet, I just feel defeated right out of the gate. If I call it a fast, I've tied it to a spiritual goal, and that's what motivates me. I can do really well with that. And that's weird. That's me. I've never heard anybody else say that. But it's a button that works with me. I use that button. It helps me. And so reorganize. Just change the way you're doing it. If there's a problem in your Christian life, try a new prayer. Try a new discipline. Try a new accountability person. Try a new Bible study. If there's a problem with your health, try a new doctor. You know, I've shared this before, but we had our second oldest boy. We went to a doctor here in town, a medical doctor, and I have great respect for the medical profession. And that doctor showed us, you know, took all these tests and did this whole thing and showed us and said, "This is a slam dunk. Your son has Crohn's." And I don't know how many of you know what that is, but it's a brutal disease, radically changes your life. And what he was going to be looking at would be surgeries, probably every few years, that took out parts of his intestine because your intestine is inflamed. So we could have just gone with that. You know, that's the expert. But we went to a naturopath person, and that person said, "Well, it could be Crohn's or it could be a strong allergy. Let's test you for all these things." Well, our son was eating eggs, I think, every day. And he had a strong allergy to eggs, and we didn't know it. He didn't have Crohn's. So it just needed a tweak in a different direction. His life radically changed. So sometimes talking to a second doctor, a second spiritual mentor, a second set of eyes. You know, I like to write, and it amazes me. I am amazed, because I think I've myself as a decent writer. I'm amazed how I can write something, I can look at it, and I don't see the mistakes because my little brain puts in what's supposed to be there. But a fresh set of eyes can see the mistakes. So reorganize. Bring in a fresh set of eyes. Pray for the Lord to open your eyes to see something a little different. Figure out how to do this. Think about how you're spending your time. You know, as a as an organization and as a leader, I will tell you, you know, there. I look at things and I look at how I spend my time and I go, okay, so this 20% is really where the payoff is. So how can I spend more of my time doing this? But it's super hard because all this other stuff's screaming for it too. You see what I'm saying? And so when you're looking at your life and your business or your or whatever you're doing, how do you reorganize how you spend your time so that you're most effective for the kingdom? So you're using your gifts, not just doing what has to be done. Try to delegate, pay somebody, do other things. Okay. It is so important that in this reorganization, notice what he did. He put him in families, posted by families, because families would encourage each other more, right? Rather than strangers. I mean, he could have done it alphabetical order. He didn't do that. He did it by families. Families are going to protect each other. Families are going to encourage each other. And what you end up have happening is what Solomon talks about in Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 through 12, is you get this accountability that comes together, this tweaking, this reorganization that makes everything better. Two are better than one because you have a good return on their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up, but pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm, but how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Okay, put it in a recovery context. Classic thing. Many times, you know, I'll chat with somebody and I'll say, so are you going to meetings? Do you have a sponsor? Do you have a mentor? Do you have, you know, no, I'm just doing it on my own. What do you think I think of those odds? They're probably not very good. And so reorganize in a way that uses the best means possible, that fresh set of eyes, those people to come alongside of you. Try to do that. The next idea when it comes to overcoming discouragement, remember the Lord. And this is so crucial. This is not Nehemiah's project. This is the Lord's project that he delegated to Nehemiah. You see the difference? This is the Lord's project. The Lord wants this done. He called Nehemiah to do. And there's this thing going around Facebook. It's a meme where it says, "The Lord, whatever the Lord has called you to do, he's factored in your stupidity." I find that very comforting. He's factored in my stupidity. He's factored in my mistakes. And so he can figure that out. He can work around that. He can bring the right people who have different gifts, who see different things. And so remember, this is the Lord's project, not your project. Yes, he's called you. He's given you a piece of it. Nehemiah 4:14. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. He says, look, he doesn't say, hey, we have the best swords. We have the best battle strategy. I'm the best military leader. We have the best system. We're never going to be surprised. No, what does he do? He say, remember the Lord. The Lord's in this. You know, she mentioned that it's Pentecost Sunday, and I am amazed. Jesus left these disciples, these bumbling, cowardly disciples, with a mission to turn the world upside down, to share the gospel to every tribe, tongue, people group around the world. And there is no way they can do it. There's no way. But God sent the Holy Spirit. He didn't leave them alone. And so remember the Lord as you're trying to move forward, as you're trying to deal with discouragement. It's about the Lord, and he's working things together, even the difficulties, even the challenges. So find scriptures that remind you and encourage you. I just listed a few for you. Philippians 4:13, I can do all this or do all things through him who gives me strength. And not to rip that completely out of context. That's in a context of endurance and difficulty, not like, I want to go be a ballet dancer so I can do all things in Christ. That's not going to happen. So it's in that context. Romans 8:39. Maybe you need to hear that you're loved. So neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And you know, sometimes you just gotta hear that. I have a friend of mine running for an office right now, and the campaign has already turned negative, and he's getting chewed on, and I'm chatting with him, and he's like, you know, it bothers me. He said, but I have an identity in Christ. And he said, there you go. And so remember the Lord. And he felt called to this particular race that I guess wraps up pretty soon here. Romans 8:31 says, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? I mean, Nehemiah, this was quite the project. Those surrounding Jerusalem did not want this to happen, but Nehemiah's like, hey, God is for us. Mark 9:23, Jesus responds, everything is possible for one who believes. So those are just a few scriptures that are encouraging. Find the scripture, do your time of prayer that encourages you, that reminds you to remember that the Lord is with you in this. I think in the big book in the AA, I think it's really clear you're not going to pull this off on your own. You're going to need the Lord. Yeah, it's not a self-help book. Yeah, it's a God help program. And so remember the Lord. The next idea is to fight. Fight the gloomy outlook, fight the discouragement, don't give in to it. Nehemiah 4:14, after I looked things over, stood up, said to the nobles, officers, rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. Now, he meant literally be willing to fight. I'm interpreting this slightly different. This is fight the discouragement. Fight the urge to give up. Fight the urge to quit. Don't write that letter of resignation. Don't quit. Don't walk out of that group. Don't quit the marriage counseling sessions. Fight no matter how discouraged you might be. You might have a relationship. You might have a job. You might have a battle with a particular sin that you feel like you're in the ICU. It's still not over. Fight. It makes all the difference. And Satan loves discouragement. He loves to discourage people. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. This is often a spiritual attack. A spiritual attack. You need to keep that in mind. Here's this goofy thing that I do, and you might use it for your own life. Once a month, I write a letter to those that pray for and give money and all that to support Journey Church who live down in Indiana, Ohio, Kentucky. That's where I'm from. That's who kind of gave us the scaffolding. And yet those people still pray for us. They still send some money, which amazes me. We're 15 years old. I never ask them for that. You know, I said 3 to 5 years, and they still, you know, just, it's amazing. And I will tell you, I write it because I need to keep them informed. But it is one of my favorite things to do every month, to step back and go, so what's God doing at Journey Church this month? It's one of my favorite things to do. And I write it out, and I can be bummed at the beginning of it, and by the time I'm done with it, I'm like, you know, that's pretty cool. God's doing some stuff. He is. He's doing some stuff. And it's amazing. And so you just, you know, you could do that with your life. Once a month, you could just do a little assessment. What's God doing in my life? And write it down. Write some things down. So the big idea is this. Don't give in to discouragement. God is for you. He really is. All right, well, let me close in prayer. Dear God, thanks for each person here. Lord, we all have our challenges, our burdens, our weight that we carry. I just pray that if we are discouraged, that you would help lift that weight from us, that you would help us to move forward anyway, that we would love people well, share the gospel with others, that we would walk in generosity, authenticity, compassion, kindness. Lord, help us to grow and help us just to root out anything that holds us back. I just pray that anything that keeps us from becoming all that you want us to be, that you would enable us in our fight against that, that you would encourage us, strengthen us, give us new eyes to look at it. Is there something new we could try? Is there a different angle? Is there someone new we could bring alongside of us in the fight to try to move forward? Lord, we just come to you. We have seasons where we're tired, where we're down, where we're discouraged. Lord, help us to be people marked by your joy, people who are marked with your purpose, that we walk in great confidence in the power of your Holy Spirit. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.